Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So some good news out this week by the good fortune people, the good folks over at Fortune Magazine. Turns out our CEO class doing better than ever. Thank you very much. In fact, they saw their wages jump, 16% last year? While the average working stiff, folks like you and me, saw a meager 1.8% increase. And look, that's been year after year. That's nothing new. We're used to it. But for me, it's one of these moments where you go, at what point do we say enough is enough and demand better? That's why, you know, whenever there's a job action going on, there's a strike, there's organizing going on, we want to talk about it here on the program. And this, again, is another one of those moments, the rich getting richer and the rest of us, well, not so much. Now, since April 1st, the good workers over at Warrior Met Coal, they've been on strike, demanding better wages, hours, and conditions. Remember, these are the essential workers. These are the frontline heroes. Remember that, because, you know, we sure played that game. But their CEO, a guy named Walter Scheller, he saw his pay jump 8% while trying to deny these workers just a meager existence. Made what $4.3 million. I guess you get a little extra cheese on your Whopper there. But here to share some thoughts on the strike. They've been on strike since April 1st, like I said. I have asked Hayden and Braxton Wright to come talk with us. Hayden is the UMWA Auxiliary President for Locals 2245 and 2368. Her husband, Brent Braxton, he's a UMWA control room operator and one of the committee men there on strike. Guys, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having us.
So walk me through this. April 1st, you guys go on strike. Why?
A lot of it's just it's an unfair labor practice strike. A lot of it's just we want to be treated fair. We want the dignity back in our workplace. Not only did they cut our insurance, our benefits, they cut our off time, our holidays. We only guaranteed 3 holidays a year. That is Christmas Eve, Christmas, and Thanksgiving.
That's it.
And a lot of us working 6 to 7 days a week. There is no seventh day off anymore. They took that away also.
And this is at a moment where, you know, you've got this CEO and the executives lining their pockets. I'm sure they don't work 6 and 7 days a week. So at the end of it, you're going, look, you know, it's about wages, hours, conditions. And you guys are out. The company not moving at all?
No, the company's not budging at all.
So when you guys decided this is the time to go, what was that like? What was it like having to make that decision that, you know, we've now got to take to the picket line? Our families are going to have to struggle and suffer and sacrifice. What was that decision process like?
It was tough. You know, the company's had 5 years to negotiate a contract in good faith and just not been interested.
Now this company's profitable. I was looking at some of the information on them. They're profitable enough to give their CEO an 8% raise. His pockets are full, but not wanting to share the wealth, so to speak, with the people who actually create that wealth. That seems very well typical.
Yeah. They want to show a loss for last year, but, it was because that they had, purposely spent $160 million on two new sets of shields. Just to show a loss for the year coming up before contract.
Yeah, they always do that, don't they? You know, I've been a part of it. The games never seem to end, especially when it comes to them lining their pockets and, well, you getting the short end of the stick. Hayden, let me ask you, because, you know, clearly this affects the family. You've got young children. This can't be easy on you guys.
No, it's not. But the past 5 years under this contract hasn't been easy. Because these guys are working 8 to 12 hours a day, most of the time 7 days a week. There actually is no limit in the current contracts. They could actually schedule you to work 14 days, 21 days. You weren't guaranteed to be off at all. And on top of that, the current contract, which this is the contract that happened when they filed bankruptcy. You know, it's one of those amazing things. They filed bankruptcy and got a buyout, but then all of the actual main company people stayed the same. They just changed the name.
Right.
So when they actually went on strike, most of us were relieved because we're like, okay, now something's going to change. Because they had a strict 4-strike policy, which is really 3 strikes and then you're fired. that was on anything. So if you broke down on the way to work and were late, you would be given a strike. Oh, but they still wanted you to stay at work. Yes. And I know ladies that were having miscarriages. Their husbands were given a strike for missing work. A man whose lady was in the hospital with a heart attack, they gave him a strike for missing work because those had to be turned in for emergencies is what they're supposed to be. But if it wasn't within 24 hours, how do you know you're going to have an emergency 24 hours in advance?
Yeah.
They'll give you a strike. So well, then as families, you have to decide, do I even call him and tell him what's going on? Because he could lose his job. So it puts a lot of pressure on your entire family.
No, it sounds like it. Now, the sad thing is I've heard these stories before, and it sounds like, you know, we've gone back to the Stone Ages where you're basically the slave to the company store and to these companies who have all of this power over you. And that's why I give folks credit for going out on the picket line and saying enough is enough. You want to negotiate. You want to be at the table. You want to hammer out the best agreement you possibly can. But ultimately, you know, it gets to a point where you got to pull the last arrow out of the quiver and make that call. Now, I've been watching some of the stuff going on the picket line. It seems to be getting a little more heated. There have been a couple of incidents where you've got people who are crossing the picket line. You got these scabs going back and forth. In fact, a couple of people have been hit. It sounds like things are kind of getting out of control down there.
Right. And it's not union violence. It's violence the company is putting against us. All we're doing is using our right to assemble, which we have a legal right to assemble to protest, to say that, hey, we want fair labor practices. And the company is trying to prohibit that. We had another incident this morning to where a truck ran through a picket line. We had a truck turn around a few days ago that had passed the line, came and turned around and ran through the picket. Luckily, those two men moved out of the way, but when he hit the fire barrel, it actually slung it into one of the men, and he had an injury from that. Then we had a boss intentionally hit one of the representatives down from another state after, of course, it was a Warrior Met paid security guard, flags him over to ask him a question, and then waves the truck on through, and the truck hits him. And this is on video. This is, you can't deny that these things are happening, and the company needs to stop this. The company needs to negotiate in good faith. They need to give a fair contract.
And this is where we need stronger federal labor laws to be put in place to protect workers on the picket line. Because, look, you're in Brookwood, Alabama, you know, just not too far away from where Bessemer was with the Amazon vote. And when you look at what towns are doing in your neighborhood, and I'm hoping you're going to explain to me, because where I'm from, you'd have hit me with that car. You'd have taken me away in an ambulance. Somebody would have got arrested. Their day would have gotten much worse. But that guy just drove off. And who knows what? How are the local authorities, how are people down there treating you guys? And is this one of those moments where we do need federal intervention and federal labor law to help protect you guys? Braxton, what are you seeing?
The local police department, the Brookwood Police Department, they won't hardly have anything to do with this. Of course, you know, a lot of Warrior Met used to spend a lot of money in Brookwood, and I imagine they still are, as a the local police departments just don't have anything to do with it. We're receiving no help from them. They won't even write the guys speeding tickets for flying by the picket lines.
And honestly, the truck that ran through that picket line went on into work. The police said that they weren't able to find the vehicle. Our union reps, our UMWA union reps, went and found the vehicle and contacted authorities. If it wasn't for our reps being there and making sure things were getting done and that they were taken care of, nothing would be getting done.
No, and it's a good thing you guys are videotaping everything. In this day and age, you've got to protect yourselves, because ultimately, you know, you want to be safe in what you're doing, and you want to go back to work and you want to continue your jobs, but you want to do it at a reasonable wage with good benefits, with reasonable hours. All comes back to wages, hours, conditions. And, you know, I know coal mining is a dangerous job. This is all part of that. So walk me through some of this, Braxton, if you will, because, you know, from what I'm reading, There's not a lot of written stuff, but it doesn't seem like they were willing to negotiate from the beginning at all. And it seems to me like they're trying to break the union. Is that the sense that you're getting?
That is correct. That's what it seems like to us.
Because how many union coal mines are left in Alabama? I know that I don't think there are any left in Kentucky. They've done a fairly successful job of running you guys out and using our broken, ossified labor law to do that. What's your sense?
Yeah, there's still three, separate union coal mines here in Alabama. We have Shoal Creek, Oak Grove, and then the two mines at Warrior Met, which we have four different locals, at the Warrior Met.
So what kind of support are you getting? Are you getting any support locally, or is what you're seeing, because I've been seeing some writing nationally. I've been seeing some things. What are you seeing? What are you getting?
Yeah, we're not seeing a lot of local media reports. They're saying that their producers are not really interested.
How can you not be interested in what is, a story about working people trying to make their lives better, their communities better? I mean, this is one of those stories that you talk to local politicians going, look, if our lives get better, we get more income, you get better tax revenue, we spend more money in town, that creates jobs. This is a job-creating environment. Why are you not behind this?
Well, we've asked the politicians that too, because Democrat, Republican, they haven't offered support either way. There's been several that I've personally messaged, called them out on Twitter, several that didn't mind attending the rallies that we had prior to the strike to get votes. But now that we're on strike and need help, they're completely silent to it.
What kind of help are you getting from the UMWA? I know when I was on strike years ago, we had a strike defense fund, didn't pay the bills, but put food on the table, made sure we didn't go hungry. What are you guys doing? Are you guys doing a fundraising campaign to help, so folks can maybe help out if they want to, which I hope folks will do? Are you doing any of that?
Yes, the UMWA has a strike aid fund. Currently, they don't have an online donation platform, but I can send you the link to where you can mail in donations for them with the auxiliary. We have a PayPal account for the strike pantry. Currently, we're doing a lot. We're doing hot dogs at some of the rallies to help feed the men and the families. We're doing at least 200 food pantry bags a week for striking miners and their families. We're doing baby items. We're doing hygiene products, normal household things. We're planning on back to school bags for the kids. And we're also doing new baby bags because we've had several babies. We actually had two babies born today that were born on strike. So, I mean, that's a struggle and that's a scary thing. So we're trying to make sure that we give them that support where they don't feel like they need to cross, that they know that the union is about solidarity. It should be brothers and sisters, and we need to take care of each other.
No, and it should be across the board. I've been a Teamster for more than 30 years, and I've marched with my UMWA brothers and sisters when they were fighting to steal your health insurance, when they were fighting to destroy your retirement security. This is about keeping the promises that we've made as a society, but more importantly, ensuring that workers have rights to sit down and fairly bargain with their employer for the wealth that they create. I know the saying is always one day longer, and I wish you guys the best in this, but are there any ongoing talks at this moment, any pressure that we can put to bear to ensure that folks get back to the table? What's the situation at this moment?
I think the big thing that's kind of hurting us here in Alabama is that we're a right to work state. A big shout out to Please Research and Pass the Pro Act. But that's hurting us because we're a union mine, but Right to Work had let them hire in non-union miners to work at a union mine. So guess who the ones scabbing are? So that's a big deal that people need to understand, that those type of laws hurt unions. They're hurting the workers. It was a good title that did the opposite of what the title says.
No, absolutely. So what you're saying is, and this is the argument I've been making for a long time, because Pennsylvania is slated to be probably the next no rights at work state. And I think stories that you've just brought up are extremely important, that the company will hire in a bunch of people that they already know are going to be vehemently anti-union because they've vetted them. Hello, yellow dog contract coming back to life, just for the purpose of when we go into negotiations, we've got ready-made scabs right here who are already tearing the union down from inside.
Yeah, so you said Jack Richardson brought a bunch with him from Kentucky, and a lot of people that he's worked with personally that come from non-union mines, and none of them would join the union. So a lot of it is the buddies that's come in at Scabs.
And now in that situation, you know, because I've heard stories that they'll bring these scabs in, they'll pay them a higher wage than they're paying the union guys just to create that division so that they can divide and conquer. Is that the scenario here?
I think they're just using them the same way they use us. I mean, after this is all over, they won't take up for those guys. They'll just be another number. They're still just another number. The bosses, the scabs, us. All it is, all they care about is stuffing the pockets of Wall Street and back to their New York-based company, and that's about it.
Yeah, and well, and to Walter Scheller, who got an 8% raise last year. Are you guys asking for an 8% raise?
Yeah. No.
Why not? I mean, he got an 8% raise. That's what seems fair to me. How do we get to that number?
And honestly, the contract, the first offer, was insulting. Yes. Because back in the bankruptcy, we took the contract. The company said, hey, if you'll get us out of bankruptcy, if you'll take all these concessions, then we'll get you back at the next contract. Well, contract comes around. First of all, they wanted to dock our pay. Our union reps wouldn't even present that one. What they did offer was a dollar raise. That's right, $1. And then after 3 years, they would raise it another 50 cents.
And that would have taken you back to where... pre-concession levels?
No. We took a $6 to $8 pay cut based off your bracket then. Wow. So we're not even asking really for any type of increase in pay or benefits. We're just asking to get us close to back to what we had 5 years ago.
And so, go ahead, Brad.
An increase in the insurance. You know, they give us, with this last contract, they put us on an 80-20 plan with a $7,500 deductible.
Yeah, you almost can't. That's something you almost can't accept. So, last question again. I want to go back to, how can we help? What can we do to help you guys? What's the ask?
I think donating to the strike fund, donating to the pantry, coming out to the rallies and showing support. We have rallies at Canyon Hill State Park at 6 o'clock every Wednesday. Coming out, showing the support to the guys. Taking out waters, even to the lines, little things that just let everyone know that, hey, you're not forgotten about. Yes. Because while we're getting all this national coverage, unless someone has social media and they're seeing these things shared locally, when you turn on the TV, there's nobody. You wouldn't think that anyone was supporting you. But there's people worldwide. I mean, we've had donations from the pantry from South Wales, from Canada, from the UK. We have this worldwide support, and these other unions are supporting us, and the guys need to see that and know that.
Back to the idea of an injury to one being an injury to all. We really are all on this, and we will get links out on social media once you get it to us on how we can get folks to help donate. But, guys, I appreciate your time. Keep up the fight one day longer.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Hayden and Braxton. Right. It's a horrible story that we have to go to this. But I hope folks will support them, and we'll get links out. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.